God today, even now as we prepare our hearts for the Word of God. Let's bow. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for this opportunity just to share your Word. I pray even now that I might decrease and that you might increase. Save someone today, encourage another, and when this time is done, we'll give your name all of the praise and all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles available or if you have your online tablets, let's look in the Gospel of John. John, the 11th chapter, verses 25, 26, and 27. Amen. John 11, 25 through 27. It reads as follows. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Verse 27. "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." I want to talk today about the life and the resurrection, or the resurrection and the life. You can turn it around any way you want to, but the resurrection and the life. Over the last couple of weeks or more, we have been looking at the I Am statements in the Gospel of John. We began talking about Jesus being the bread of life and him being the door and also the light of the world. And on last Sunday, we talked about Jesus being the good shepherd. Amen. But as we come to this place, we want to move closer toward Easter Sunday, and we've been on our Lenten season that's in process now. But really, when you talk about death, it is something that crosses our minds. Some time ago, some researchers out of Israel said that our brains recognize the notion of death, but they shield us from thinking about it as something that can happen to us, but rather only to others. Every time I go to a funeral, every time I preach a funeral, I think about my own demise, and maybe you do as well. That's not being morbid, that's being real, that our life on this earth is certainly limited. Today, we're going to talk about life and death, friends and family, and an eye toward the future. This is a remarkable story because it paints the picture of Jesus like we've never seen him before. He had friends. Now, even though he was a friend of the friendless, Jesus would oftentimes steal away to a little place called Bethany. And there in Bethany, he would stop into the home of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. They were his friends. And he would rest and relax and get a bite to eat. It's good to get off the beaten path every now and then. And it shows he's holy man, but holy God as well. Well, there came a time when Jesus was over in another town, and the word got to him that Lazarus, his friend, it was put that way, your friend is sick unto death. And not long after that, he's gone to sleep. The disciple says, "Well, he's asleep. He'll get up. Maybe he's just napping." But Jesus knew what that meant, that Lazarus had died. And what is amazing, he got in no rush to get to Bethany. He spent a few more days before he got there because a miracle was in the works. And sometimes we question why God does what he does. But as he works through Christ, there's something he has planned. And when he gets there, of course, those sisters are ready to give him a piece of their mind. You know, friends can do that. Had you been here, our brother would still be alive. And by then, the funeral was over, and he was already in the tomb, already in the grave, and Jesus comes to comfort them in a special way. He is the comforter. And then he really talks to Martha and says, "Do you believe that your brother will rise again?" He will rise again, of course. But what this does for us, Martha proves that, first of all, he is a life preserver. That he is a life provider, and that he is a life saver. Life preserver. Jesus said to her, that is Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. The resurrection is not an event. The resurrection really is a person, that person being Jesus Christ. God sent him to die for our sins, and he has the power to restore. Jesus has the power to impart. Jesus has the power to maintain life. But he puts it this way. What got me near the end of the week, I kept walking around this text in the words of the late Dr. Charles Booth. I began to interrogate it. And as I looked at it, it says, the one who believes. So faith is all in this text. Amen? Amen. Jesus promises that you will live eternally even though you may die physically. And that's the hope of the believer, that yes, that at some point this race will be run, but he's going to prepare a place for us that where he is will be also. He is the life preserver. I'm not a boater. I've been on a few boats, even a big boat on a cruise ship. But I notice when I get on a boat, there's a life preserver. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's required by law that you don't hit the water without a life jacket or some kind of a ring or a belt, so that in the event that something goes wrong, that you have something that will protect you and keep you from drowning. Jesus is this life preserver. And so what about you and I as believers of Jesus Christ? We can throw out the life preserver, the lifeline, to someone who has lost hope. And you'd be amazed. You don't have to look very far. You may need to throw out a preserver right in your home, right where you live. Somebody in your space needs to know that Jesus Christ is a life preserver. And so throw out to them the good news of Jesus Christ by way of a life preserver. Mm-hmm. 1 John 5 and 12 really gets into this sense of life. And that becomes so key in our study. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now that sounds kind of like, well, but what if, well, that means you got to get him. You say, well, does that include me? It can include you if you have the Son. In other words, you need to accept Christ as your personal Savior, but life and life abundantly, a life running over, is so important. But I'm so glad that he is a preserver. Can I go down to Live Oak for a minute? I used to watch my mother, and you probably watch your parents and your grandparents preserve. Long before any brand name jelly came on the market, they could do what? They would preserve food so that they could go back to it and it would taste very good. It's organic food too. But Jesus will preserve us. Amen. But not just is he a life preserver, he's also a life provider. Verse 26, and whoever lives by, and there it is again, believing in me. Believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Okay. So Jesus is posing a question to Martha. I mean, can you imagine being in her shoes? That Jesus asked her the question. You might have passed the SAT with big scores, or you may be the AP queen or king, and you may have had all honor classes. But when Jesus poses that kind of question, he kind of put her on the spot. Remember, they were friends, and they were also faithful followers of Jesus Christ, so they had picked some things up. But he talks to her. Do you believe this? And he says, believing in me, you will never die. Now, never means never. At no time in the past, at no time in the future, on no occasion, not ever. Amen? And he says that to her as he poses this question. You know, I'm stuck on that. That he turns the tables, that he's the one asking the questions. When it comes to never dying, I told the story, and I don't remember because I have my thumbs are not green. But I remember getting a plant from my sister Pauline. I was up in D.C. and had a little apartment about this big, and she sent me an arrangement. And I was told that you can't kill this plant. Okay, it'll never die. Well, guess what? I totally ignored it, and something happened. But I'm told, you green thumbers, that a peace lily can go on forever and ever, and that it even reminds you when it needs water by drooping itself. So look at that. I might take a course 101 how to grow something. Amen. But this sense of never dying, this sense of God providing for us, He is the one that provides for us. You can provide life to someone else. How can I do that, Reverend? By pointing them toward the Savior. You can tell that I love evangelism. You can tell that I enjoy trying to win people to Christ. But each of us have a testimony to let someone know that the Lord will provide. He will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But He will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on Him. Tell them about the plan of salvation. If you work, you know about a plan. That's a part of what you do on the job, is what is my plan? What are the benefits that I have on this job? Do I have a 401k? Do I have dental? Do I have vision? You get where I'm going with this. But Jesus is the one who provides life. John 10:28, a more elaboration on this, says, I give them eternal life. And there again, Jesus saying, I'm the one that provides it, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. Let me just drop this on you. This passage is a reminder, it's reassurance, that once saved, always saved. Once you've given your life to Jesus Christ, that the enemy cannot snatch you out of the Lord's hand. Now, somebody told you could lose your salvation. Not true. But thank God for Jesus. He is the one that provides life forever. He is a life provider. He is a life preserver. He's also a life saver. Verse 27, and this is Martha responding. Yes, Lord, she replied to the question, I believe, and there it is again, that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And Martha had a Bible study or two under her belt. She would say, I really get this. Now, I'm still questioning about my brother, and I know you could have done it because you are, you come from God. But yeah, I believe that. And you talk about the Messiah, we're talking about the anointed one, the chosen one, the one that is to come. But Jesus comes into the world to save the world from its sins. That's why He has come. Amen? Amen. And know this, Jesus is still in the saving business. He didn't need a PPE loan. He is still in the saving business. COVID did not affect Him. He's still in the saving business. The economy has not affected Him. He's still in the saving business. I can't say it any other way. I'm stuck right there. He is the Savior of the world. He is a life saver. Amen? Just when you thought things were about to fall apart, He comes along and saves us. I watched with great amazement this week on national news, and maybe you did too, about the couple from Idaho, driving in their pickup truck, pulling a little trailer, and somehow they lost control, and the truck went over. The camper stayed on the road, but the truck was there dangling. And for an hour and 8 minutes, they were there as persons came along to assist them and to try and save them. They were dangling on that bridge. This was not something out of a movie. This was the real deal. And perhaps, maybe, just by chance, you know someone today whose life is dangling. Well, that you know someone today whose life is in a wreck, and yet you have a way to minister to them. I know I'm on that. That's what our faith is about, is trying to encourage someone and to remind them that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Ephesians 2:8-9. As Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved." We don't hear that much anymore. Saved. Are you saved? Amen? Amen. Through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's not really about you. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You can work till the sun go down, but you're saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Well, let's go back to Bethany. Breaking news just in. Lazarus has been raised from the dead. Jesus goes and he does what? He says, "Lazarus, come forth." He comes out of the grave and he says to those who are, "Loose him and let him go." Amen. That's just the update to this story. But wait a minute. There's some more breaking news just in. I just got it in. God has raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, you didn't catch that. Let me go back. There's some more news breaking. I love to watch a certain news program. You might have multiple breaking news stories. Amen. But he has risen from the dead. And this just then, that he continues to raise us from our dead places. He continues to raise us from dead situations. He continues to raise us from dead dilemmas. He is always and will be. He is the resurrection and the life.
Yeah.
Now, the resurrection is proof that he's the Son of God. Romans 1:4. That he looks to believers to live a holy life. Romans 6:4. He has this ability to be the intercessor in glory. Romans 8:34. And that salvation is available. Romans 10:9-10. And he is Lord, not was Lord. He is Lord. Romans 14:9. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. I don't know about you, but maybe since this sermon began, you've gotten up from the place that you felt that you were being held down. That's what the Holy Spirit would do. You were in the dumps at the beginning of this word, but now that you've heard the word, all of a sudden you are Lazarus. You've gotten up. Say, "Wait a minute, I'm coming forth because I've heard the voice." Amen. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me." Amen. And that becomes so key, that I know him as the resurrection and I know him as the life. Oh my God, I'm glad to be alive today. But I thank God that this is just phase one. There's a phase two. My God, I'll fly away. Amen. The song says it, that when I die, hallelujah, yeah, by and by I'll fly away. But my God, let's deal with the here and now. You haven't gone anywhere yet. So while you are here, do what you can to be a life preserver.
Yes.
Do what you can to be a life provider.
Yes, sir.
And do what you can to be a life saver. That is the word of God today. It is already blessed. That is what we can cling to. Well, maybe you've come to a place in life and you are trying to make a choice as it relates to, do I want to turn over my life to Jesus? Do I want to give him the power of attorney, so to speak? And one thing he won't do, he won't rush in and twist your arm and take you down. The choice really is yours. It's called free will. As I come by today, it's my responsibility, it's every preacher's responsibility, to offer Christ to you. This is really the icing on the cake. So let's bow today. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. He died, but he rose with all power in his hands. And your word says that if you believe that, oh my God, we believe so much nowadays. We believe conspiracy theories. We believe other things that we have no idea of being able to prove. But by faith, may you open your heart today and accept Jesus Christ in. My God, perhaps somebody has done that right now. And if that is the case, the angels in glory have thrown a welcome home party for you. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for what it does. You said it will not return void. I pray even now for that one person who has never received you, who today made the shift to bring you in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessed be the God today. We're so grateful just for the Word of God. And I love it. I get excited about Jesus. Amen. That becomes so important. Well, we time now to go to our newsroom. Amen. With Tim Tootin Jr.
Good morning, Harvest Family. I'm Tim Tootin Jr. here for WACM News on Sunday, March the 21st. It is our desire to keep you up to date on all of the Harvest happenings. We'll be glad to keep you informed. Send your text or email to come2harvest.org/updates. We can't thank you enough for your financial support. If you'd like to plant seeds online, contact us at come2harvest.org/giveonline. With your financial support, Harvest is becoming a global ministry, reaching listeners and viewers now in 40 states and 30 countries. To God be the glory. For prayer, reach us at contact@come2harvest.org. For WACM News, I'm Tim Tootin Jr. Now let's go to Pastor for an update on Good Friday service.
Thank you from the newsroom. Amen. Thank you, Tim Tootin Jr. Well, let's talk about that Good Friday service again. We're going to be having it on Good Friday. That's April the 2nd at noon. I would get there a little sooner. We have all the information on our website. You can find it. But we're going to be right here in the parking lot, and I'm going to be a little closer than this. 7411 Rossville Boulevard. Thank God for the wonderful people there, my friends over at Central. And, of course, if you've been to Harvest and been to a baptism, we've been here. But we're going to be on the lot. Amen. Standing in front of that rock. So any information you need, you'll find it right there. Praise God. Well, as we check out of here today, there's a song. I've asked the brothers to come in the backyard today. Amen. They're going to give us a little going home song, and we'll come back and give you an official goodbye.
Trouble in my way.
Trouble in my way.
I have to cry sometimes.
I have to cry sometimes.
Trouble in my way.
Trouble in my way.
Jesus, he will fix it.
Jesus, he will fix it.
won't he fix it? Blessed be the God today. Brothers, had a good time back there. Amen. Praise be to God. Trucks driving by, folk wonder what's going on. And Jesus, we have a life preserver we threw out to them. Thank you so much, as always. We appreciate you for being who you are and for taking time to tune in. On behalf of the entire production team, I want to say thank you. Have a blessed day in the Lord.